Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
These my dad's making it hurt.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert and Instagram at Tony underscore Liebert. That is TONYLIEBERT. For this week's episode, I will be talking about USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten Conference last month and what it means for college football and all things college football realignment, the future of the sport, future of the Big Ten Conference. And I'll also discuss what the number one player in Minnesota, Jackson Howard's commitment to LSU, means for the Gophers. All right, let's start with USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten Conference. Announcing on June 30th, shaking up the college football world. They will officially join the conference in 2024, but just them announcing that they will obviously has huge implications for the conference, for the sport as a whole. But my instant reaction, I think there were the biggest, obviously, factor in this decision was money. Most things in college football all, and really life in general in America, all happen due to money. USC and UCLA are going to make more money from this. All the schools in the Big Ten are going to make more money from this. The main reason why is the Big Ten's TV contract with Fox / ESPN ends following the 2022-2023 academic year. So that means after this upcoming college basketball season, I believe it would technically be the baseball season, but there's not much baseball broadcasted on big time networks anyway. So not this college football season, starting next college football season, USC or the Big Ten's TV deal will end. And USC and UCLA obviously gives them a whole nother market on the West Coast, the biggest in the West Coast, the LA market, biggest city in the West Coast, one of the biggest cities in the U.S., one of the biggest cities in the world. And that obviously, those two factors make this decision make sense for USC and UCLA and the Big Ten. There are obviously a few things that come from this that don't make sense at all. The one biggest one for me is the time zones. USC and UCLA are obviously on Pacific time, which is a two-hour difference from Central time and a three-hour difference from Eastern time. And the Big Ten has, I believe, Penn State, Iowa, Maryland, Rutgers and Indiana are the only schools in the Eastern time zone. I know half of Indiana is. I'm not 100% sure if Bloomington, Indiana is, but so that's going to be interesting because obviously Fox likes to put a Big Ten school on their Big Noon kickoff game, which is usually the biggest game of the week for them at least. And a game in USC or UCLA that would kick off at 9 a.m. So I don't know if that will change how Fox renegotiates their deal with the Big Ten. A lot of stuff to still be figured out with this, obviously. This is a long-term decision, and there are going to be long-term questions that still have to be answered. But the time zones are going to be the weirdest thing. Everyone will say Rutgers to travel to USC for a Tuesday Big Ten game is going to be weird for basketball. But for football, I would imagine those schools aren't going to be playing often. Like any sport, I think they're going to at least try to regionalize the scheduling as much as possible. In basketball, it would be interesting because I would assume most schools are going to play most schools in the conference. But yeah, the time zones are going to be weird. I imagine USC and UCLA are going to have some pre-11 a.m. kickoffs at some point. I know in the past, I think Fox did it once or twice with the Pac-12 because I know they broadcasted Pac-12 games last year and the year before, I believe. But so that's going to be the most interesting thing. I don't know. Obviously the TV deal, I think, is going to dictate a lot of that. But the kickoff times are going to be just weird to me because I played football up until, varsity my senior year. You never had a football game at 9 a.m. You're playing in the biggest level of college football. It's weird that if you're kicking off at that time, but just because of money. I don't know. It's all because of money, and all of this stuff's because of money. And that's just how America works. So I wouldn't get too butthurt over it because it's going to keep happening. But off of the time zones, as for the football on the field product, just for football, two of the biggest brands in college football joining the Big Ten made me think, how would I rank the 16 teams in the Big Ten branding-wise? I personally would put Ohio State number one, Michigan number two, and USC would be number three now in the new Big Ten in my eyes. Then I would go Penn State, Nebraska, Michigan State, UCLA, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Maryland, Purdue, Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, Indiana. So you can obviously look at a bigger landscape. I see USC still as a top 10 to 15 brand in college football. They might not have as diehard of a fan base as a lot of the Midwestern schools in the Big Ten and Midwestern and Southern college schools in general. The West Coast, typically, at least in the past few years, 10, 15 years, doesn't really seem to care too much about college football. But they still, USC still has a national brand. They're a national college football powerhouse. I think with Lincoln Riley, they're going to get back to that. I don't know if that's going to reignite their fan base necessarily, but it'll be interesting. So those were my biggest reactions instantly from USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. There's obviously still so much to be figured out that there's a lot of questions left, but that's how I reacted to the news initially. But as for what's next for the Big Ten conference, because a lot of rumors circulating about what's next, because Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC last offseason, or at least saying they will, obviously created a big domino effect. A lot of conferences are like, what do? We need to change some stuff. The Big 12 added BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF. And so I would assume USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 is going to definitely have a huge impact on the Pac-12. And I think it's going to have an impact on other conferences. As for the Big Ten's outlook, based on what I've seen and what I've heard, it seems like they are not chomping at the bit to add any more schools within the next few years. Within the next 2 to 3 years, I should say. It seems like Notre Dame is their next big target and big brand they want to add, which would make a lot of sense geographically compared to USC and UCLA. Always a school that, if they joined a conference, the Big Ten would make the most sense geographically. Their whole brand is obviously being an independent in the history of Notre Dame. They travel the country and all that. But now with USC and UCLA in their conference and some Midwest schools and maybe and a couple of East Coast schools, maybe they would be more intrigued to joining the Big Ten. I know Notre Dame's already in the Big Ten for hockey, but they are in the ACC for basketball and other sports. So it is interesting. Don't know what's going to happen to the ACC. Big Ten seems more stable at the moment. But I would imagine they'll stick with these 16 teams for the next few years at least. They're definitely a couple of seasons after USC and UCLA officially join. But it seems like Notre Dame's their next big target. I know Oregon and Washington were floated around. But it seems like that's who they want to go after, and they don't really have another direct target at the moment. But yeah, I think this is going to be the future for the Big Ten, at least short term for the next 5 years. As for other conferences in college football, there are so many rumors. But at the end of the day, it really seems like this is going to be the SEC versus the Big Ten. I don't know how long that's going to take. But the big picture seems like that's what it's going to come down to. But as like the ACC still has some of the biggest brands in college football in their conference. They still have Clemson, still have Miami, still have Florida State, North Carolina, Louisville. Those schools have been rumored to maybe join the SEC, maybe join the Big Ten. I don't have that inside information, so I don't know. But I've heard that Miami might join the Big Ten, but all those other schools might join the SEC. So I don't know. There's so many questions to be answered. Like I said, this is all a bunch of rumors. The ACC the last few years really has, I guess, struggled to get a fan base that competes with the Big Ten and the SEC. And I think for a big reason why, especially in football, their conference just hasn't been deep, especially the last... since Jimbo Fisher left Florida State, Florida State's been, obviously, I don't know if they've even been in a bowl game, but they're if top three brand in the conference, and they haven't been competitive. Miami hasn't been really competitive since the 90s, and like when you have Pittsburgh versus Wake Forest in your championship game, it's going to be hard to draw a national audience because those aren't very big brands in college football. Compared to the Big Ten, like last year when they had Michigan and Iowa, those are two very big brands that are definitely bigger than Pittsburgh and Wake Forest. But when you have Ohio State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, these are schools with big national brands, and Pitt and Wake Forest aren't. So that's why the ACC is struggling. But they still have brands like Clemson, Miami, and Florida State that at least for football, are still national brands in my eyes. Virginia Tech is also an underrated one. So, going to be curious where those schools go. But I have no idea. There's so many things that could happen. It seems like the Big 12 is pretty set on the schools that they currently have after adding BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. But I've also heard they could be in the mix for Colorado making a return, which would make a lot of sense, obviously, and Washington and Oregon. Into the Pac-12, those are the two most interesting national brands that could be on the move, because I don't think those two schools are going to want to play in a conference where their best competition is Stanford and Utah every year, or Washington State. The Pac-12, if they wanted to stay together, could add a San Diego State, a Fresno State, a Nevada, Colorado State. But again, that's just going to be a lower level conference at the end of the day. Like, my biggest takeaway from USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten is you can't make an argument with the Pac-12 as it is going forward to be a Power 5 football school. Those brands just aren't big enough to compete with other conferences. So this could be the beginning of the end for the Pac-12 specifically. As at least a Power 5 conference, they could become... it's just, they're not much different than the Mountain West now, in my eyes. Oregon and Washington are two schools that have made the college football playoff and competed at a high level, but they just have no competition. Stanford, Utah has been good the last few years. Washington State was good with Mike Leach, but like Stanford hasn't been good since they had Andrew Luck. Colorado hasn't been good since the 90s. Then you throw in Oregon State, have had okay years here and there, and Cal hasn't been good since like the 80s. And then Arizona State and Arizona, good few years here and there, but those aren't programs that are able to compete consistently. So my biggest takeaway from this whole thing is I think the Pac-12's done so. I don't see how they would be able to compete with those schools. Because if you add a San Diego State or a Fresno State, two good mid-major college football programs, I don't know. That doesn't elevate your conference. Like, the Big 12 at least still has schools like that are competing. They have a lot of solid schools, like a Baylor, an Oklahoma State, Iowa State recently, Kansas State, TCU. Like, these are really solid college football programs, at least in my lifetime as a 21-year-old. It just, Pac-12 doesn't have many of those. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Obviously, like I said, a lot of rumors. Still a lot of dominoes to fall in this whole thing. And the biggest question is this good for college football? So, I was thinking about this. I'm a college football, college basketball fan. I love college sports. I believe I always will like them more than pro sports. Just the pageantry, the fan bases, the history. It all, it just, something about it just gets me going on it. On a Saturday morning to sit down, watch college football. Saturday morning, watch college basketball all day, March Madness. There's just something that pro sports cannot replicate. But is this good for the long-term future of college football? It really just comes down to, if you can accept change. Because in the history of sports, in the history of life, just things naturally change. I think a reason why a sport like baseball has been able to stay relevant in the last 10 years is because they don't accept change. They don't realize that humans evolve, humans' interests evolve. Even though this is all dictated around money, just things naturally change over time. What I've learned is, not to get too philosophical, but as a 21-year-old, if you just accept change and realize it's inevitable, life becomes a lot easier. And I don't think this change will really drastically impact college football. All the teams are still going to be there. They're still going to play on Saturdays. They might play against different teams. And one big thing will be the rivalries, but there have been rivalries that have come and go in the history of the sport. The big ones, Michigan, Ohio State, they're still going to be playing each other. Alabama, Auburn, they're still going to be playing each other. Minnesota, Wisconsin, they're still going to be playing each other. As for college football, it just, like, I don't see why the rivalries can't continue if they're in different conferences. Like, there's a lot of cross-conference rivalries that happen the last week of the year. Florida always plays Florida State. Clemson always plays South Carolina. There's a few that should happen that don't. But, like, Kentucky always plays Louisville. Georgia Tech, Georgia. So, what comes from this is bad. I honestly don't know. People are just going to say, like, I can't think of a truthful reason why this is bad for the sport. Everyone's going to get more money. Hopefully that gets to the players like it should eventually. But like, you're just gonna say, oh, it's bad that there's two or three big conferences and that's it? Well, like, you just are used to there being five conferences. That's why you think it's bad. I don't like the Big East used to be a big conference in football. That doesn't exist anymore. I think really all that comes from this is the Pac-12's done in my eyes. I think the ACC's still got gonna stick around, personally. I think the next big domino is going to be Notre Dame, and Oregon and Washington, and what the rest of these Pac-12 schools do. I personally think the ACC rumors might be a little rich, but I don't know. I have no idea. I wouldn't have guessed USC and UCLA would join the Big Ten. But so what the heck do I know? But at the end of the day, I don't think this is a huge negative for the sport, and I think the sport's going to keep on going. Fan base is still going to be there. Nothing's really going away. So I just don't. Bigger conferences would make for more interesting conference races. So I don't know. I think it'll be fun, honestly. It'll be interesting, and something fun to follow. This week's episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Get started now. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right. Before I wrap the episode up, a few things that happened in the last 2 weeks. Biggest being the number one recruit in Minnesota, Jackson Howard, officially committed to LSU. He was choosing between the Gophers, LSU, Michigan, and Miami. So what does this mean for the University of Minnesota and their football program? I don't think this drastically changes much. His commitment to the Gophers would have changed a lot. The Gophers have been in that 30 to 40 recruiting class rating under PJ Fleck pretty consistently, and he's shown that he can at least compete for Big Ten West titles with that level of talent. So I don't think losing Jackson Howard ultimately changes that much. The Gophers still have a top 30 ranked class in the country, 7 out of the top 10 Minnesota players, which is big. And I think it's still a very impressive class, and it's just stepping stones. I still think Howard seriously considered the Gophers, which is a step up from recruits in the past. And like, there's going to be another Jackson Howard. This is a long-term thing for the program. PJ Fleck's trying to build long-term, and it might not be next year or the year after, but there's going to be a next Jackson Howard. Hopefully by then, the Gophers have played in a Big Ten championship game, maybe even won, and hopefully they are able to get a recruit like Jackson Howard. Like at this point, LSU just it offers more to a four-star top 100 player than the Gophers. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would imagine they're top three in the country in producing NFL talent. And the Gophers obviously have gotten a lot better under PJ Fleck. But like, if you were a high school player, I know everyone listening to this is Gophers fans, but be really hard to turn down an offer to go play in the SEC, go play at LSU. If you like, he obviously visited the school, walk out onto Death Valley, onto the field. I would imagine it would be really, really hard to be like, no, I want to go play at Minnesota. Listen though, everyone listening to this, I'm just as big of a Gopher fan as you, but you got to be a realist and realize that's what it comes down to. But at the end of the day, the number one player in Minnesota just committed to LSU, which is very cool. And Minnesota High School Athletics is in tremendous upswing, and it's great to see people from Minnesota succeed at a national level. Few other things. One of the top 10 players in Minnesota that's uncommitted, the top uncommitted player in the state, Alinus Davis from Moorhead, defensive tackle, is announcing his college decision tomorrow, as I'm recording this, on Tuesday the 12th. He's choosing between the Gophers, Iowa State, and Washington. He will be committing at 6 p.m. Would be another great addition to the class, obviously. Something to watch out for this week. And big in Gophers news in the last 2 weeks. I didn't really want to touch on this, but I'm going to. Former defensive tackle Val Martin came out and said some things about PJ Fleck, saying that he just wasn't a big fan of him. In my humble opinion, I think Gophers fans made this story a little bit bigger than it needed to be. I know on my Twitter I shared a few tweets. That's because it's the middle of July and June. It's the middle of the summer, and people aren't talking about football, and a lot of people are now. But, like, I didn't share my opinion or anything on the whole thing, and a lot of people were angry at me for even sharing the information. And I think it's just a bit odd if you cover the team and you wouldn't share that a former player came out saying he hates PJ Fleck. I think it is at least interesting. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I know I have contact with one former player, at least phone number wise, and I reached out to him and I asked what he thought about the situation. He just wasn't a fan of PJ Fleck to begin with, and that's the reason why he transferred. It's just, people don't like Nick Saban. People don't like Dabo Sweeney. I would assume his former players don't like, some of them don't like him. And like, nothing Val Martin said was negative. He just doesn't like the way PJ Fleck does things. And we all know PJ Fleck does things differently. So just at the end of the day, I think at least all the Gophers fans on Twitter were just making it a bigger deal than they needed to be. They felt like they had to defend PJ Fleck. And I just thought it was a bit over the top. I didn't think it was that big of a deal at the end of the day. But an underrated part of it was, on all these responses, there were just so many Nebraska fans that come in saying, oh, PJ Fleck stinks. Like, Minnesota really lives rent-free in Nebraska fans' heads. Like, they're just scouring the internet for anything to use against PJ Fleck, which I just thought was hilarious. But that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, and you really shouldn't either. But that's all I got for this week's episode. We'll be back to weekly episodes now that 4th of July is done. But as always, I appreciate you listening. Row the boat, sky you ma, and go Gophers.
1 who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.